Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 97, Max Abreu. I met Max and his business partner Garland a couple months ago at a conference in New Jersey, Sam Cohen's ACE Conference. And it was awesome. And it was great to meet these kids because they are kids, and yet they're incredibly successful. Very humbled, willing to take chances, willing to take risks, but have been humbled a few times, acknowledge it, and now are a little more wary and a little more wise, and yet just so set on success, but in a nice way. Nicest kids. I mean, just great kids you get a chance to meet. And we get into some of that in this segment. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. Man, and tonight's guest, you know, I have socks older than this guy, and yet he is crushing it. Him and his partner are crushing it in e-commerce. And it's nothing to them, but they're competitive, and there's a story there, and I can't wait to get to the story. Welcome, Max Abreu. Welcome, Max.
How you doing? I'm glad to be here.
And I'm glad that you are here. I met Max and his partner. Who's your partner? What's his name?
His name is Garland. Garland Sullivan.
Garland Sullivan. Mm-hmm. You guys were college friends, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I met them at Sam Cohen's ACE Conference in New Jersey. I guess it's been a month or maybe a little bit more than that. And I was just blown away because these guys are killing it. And yet I have kids older than you. And but, you know, again, it's that competitive spirit, which I want to get to because I think the story is just amazing. So let's go back. You were not born in the U.S., correct?
Actually, I was. My mom basically got pregnant, and then she came to the States for a year. She had me, and then went back.
To Paraguay, right?
Yeah. I'm the only American really from my family.
Okay, from your family, and you decided to come back here to go to school. Is that how you ended back in the U.S.?
Yeah. So I swam. You know, I was a swimmer growing up, and I've always wanted to go to college in the States because the system works here as far as athletics and academics go. I've always wanted to do that. And in 2009, I got the chance to come to college here on scholarship and swim.
And so swimming is a huge commitment, right? I mean, it's not, you know, 5 minutes in the pool. How much in a pool would you say, how many hours a day would you have spent in a pool?
On the days that we had doubles, which was three times a week, it would be anywhere between 5 to 6 hours. And then when we didn't have doubles, which is, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday usually, it would be about 2.5.
And I remember reading somewhere that what's his name, the competitive swimmer, the subway, the one who was doing the Subway commercials or whatever. Michael Phelps. He had to eat tens of thousands of calories. Is that true that you burn that much calories?
You know, that whole story got blown up.
Okay.
As far as like the number goes, I remember him saying like, I have no idea where people got that number, you know, but it seemed to take off, and it seemed to be people's focus as far as what to talk about. But, I mean, it's true. It's definitely, I wouldn't say 10,000 or 15,000 or whatever the number was. But as far as eating whatever you can and as much as you can, it's definitely true. For sure.
Do you swim much now?
No, you know, I retired about 2 months ago, I want to say. And just recently got into CrossFit, so I'm trying to catch up to Andy Slammons.
Oh, good luck with that, man. Him, REA, Ryan Witeska, those dudes are killer. Oh, and those guys are killer CrossFitters. I mean, just killer, and they do it. I was wondering if you if your metabolism has slowed since you've left enough that it's harder to get the weight off That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, you know, a little bit.
Okay.
I find myself not eating as much, obviously, and but I with just within that, you know, month and a half, 2 month break that I took from swimming to when I started CrossFit, I already started seeing some negative results.
Uh-oh.
On my body, and so I was like, all right, Uh-oh. it's time to get back into it.
To get into it. Well, that'll be good. You got to come up here in our world and we'll take you to Andy's gym and you can eat all the chocolate and then go to the workout out. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
So you took competitive swimming a little bit further, and we should get to that. But in college, you started selling. Why did you start selling in college?
Yeah, so I've always had a kind of like a passion for making money, or it should be – it wasn't a passion yet. I've always been intrigued by how – people can make money online. And this is, you know, way back in 2008 when I was in Paraguay even, you know. And I remember actually going to like slickdeals.net, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with that, or maybe not, but it was way back when, you know. And I remember seeing these deals where you could get stuff for free, and you could get stuff for like a dollar, you know, just huge deals where I would be like, wow. And I couldn't, at that time, I couldn't buy online from Paraguay, you know. That whole world was kind of untouchable in a way because of shipping and all that good stuff and credit cards, and it's just different. And so one of the very first things I did when I got to the States was buy something online.
And when you were in college?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so were you buying textbooks online? I mean, was it just electronics or whatever?
As far as buying for resale, you mean?
Well, I mean, you said as soon as you got here, you started buying things online. Did you mean for resale, or did you just mean, hey, I finally got a chance to buy something. I've seen it out there, and I got a taste of it, and now that's what I meant.
Yeah, it was more just getting to buy stuff online and finding it for really cheap, you know?
Okay, and then, so then at that point, you're saying, there's a market for this. Did you resell to your friends in college, or did you just say, hey, I'm going to buy this and use it and then resell it and say, whoa, there's value here?
Well, that didn't start until about my senior year in college. And, you know, I was very busy with swimming plus school plus, you know, being intrigued by
that's, girls.
Yeah, definitely. but eBay, and that's when it started. So I read a book on eBay. Then I found out about FBA. I think the book was maybe Barcode Booty.
Okay.
And then, you know, the whole textbook thing started. All right, scanning textbooks. And I still remember what my first three items were sending to FBA for the very first time.
All right, go ahead. Tell us what they are.
Yeah, I went to Ross, about, you know, two minute drive, and I bought these two Toy Story toys, and it was a Hulk walkie-talkie.
And did you scan them to know that there was value, or did you just look them up? How'd you know?
You know, I don't remember. I think I did scan them. I think by then I had read a little bit on it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So you scanned something, you sent it in FBA, not Merchant Fulfill, and they sold?
They sold within, you know, a week and a half or 2 weeks. And, I just started playing with it. But really the aha moment for me came when my roommate's girlfriend came up to me and said, oh, you know, I've got a friend, you know, over in Texas that does the same thing you do, or is doing the same thing you're trying to do. And I was like, oh, you know, cool. You know, I didn't think that he'd be doing exactly, you know,
made, what, 20 or 50 bucks. So you're like, yeah, 20, 50 bucks, no big deal, right? It's not that big of a business, right? Can't be that big.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't think that this guy would be doing Amazon FBA, you know, because I always thought selling online was like, I don't know, eBay, you know, finding something, finding a treasure. And, you know, that's kind of what I had the picture in my mind as far as people who sold online, you know. And so then I get in contact with this guy, and turns out he's killing it in my head, you know. He was doing it full time. He was probably about a year ahead of us, or maybe 10 months, not sure. And he was putting up these numbers that at the time were just, you know, mind-blowing for me. And I said, wow, someone can actually do this full-time. And that's when I knew that's what I wanted to do when I graduated.
Well, what's your degree in?
International business.
Okay, so you were business-minded, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you wanted to stay international. So you saw this. I mean, did you think that this would become an international business, or did it not even get that far? It was just, hey, I can buy stuff and resell it, and it ties into my goal of having that business. And let's face it, you grew up with computers at your age, as opposed to us. Is that where your mind went?
Yeah, it was basically not so much applying the international factor of it. It was just, wow, this guy's doing it full time, and he's killing it. And I said, my business partner, you know, I've always been kind of entrepreneur. Like, my mom bought and sold stuff, you know, used to come to the States to buy clothes and take it to Paraguay.
And then bring them back. Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's awesome.
Exactly. And so, and my business partner, his dad owns his own company, construction. And so he's always wanted to do that. And I knew that he worked, he was a hard worker because he was also a swimmer. And I knew that he was ambitious and all that. And I also knew that I was going to still swim after I was done with college. And so I got a business partner with him, and we said, let's do it once we graduate.
So was he was attracted to it too. Was he studying business, or is his degree in something different?
Yeah, he's social entrepreneurship. So
no kidding.
Yeah, so.
Oh, that now that's cool. That's a very current topic right now, social entrepreneurship. Very cutting edge even today. They're talking about it everywhere in my world. Okay, so the two of you decide, hey, we've got a business plan. What do your parents say about, mom saying, hey, this is great, because she has it in her blood, saying, I knew you would do that? Or, and his parents, I mean, what were they saying? Wait, I sent you to college, and I expect you to go be a lawyer or a doctor, or in your case, a banker, right? International business, usually bankers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mom was excited about it. She didn't want me to at least think about getting an MBA, you know. She wanted me to consider that, but I did not want to do that, especially if I had to pay for it. I think she was fine with it, and Garland's parents were also encouraging, and I think they were all for it. I actually don't remember any pushback or anything like that.
All right, very cool. So when we come back, I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about the competitive side, how it really takes off for you personally. And then I want to talk about how two guys who are younger than, I mean, God, you're so young, and especially a couple of years ago when you guys started cranking, how do you get to seven figures at that age and just kill it with us old people still struggling to get going? Let's take a quick break. Be right back. Hope you're having a great 2016. We know we are. It is a great year. Second quarter, looking pretty strong. We're in shoes and clothing. We think you should be too. If you are thinking about it, look at yoursourcedinventory.com. That's yoursourcedinventory.com. We're members. Listen to these stats. March, average shoe rank, $7,290 with a selling price of $89.42. Now think about that. That high selling price is where you're going to benefit. $31.40 profit, 80% return of investment. That's incredible. Clothing, average clothing rank was $8,966. Average selling price, $46.06. Again, you don't have to sell as many items to get that profit. Average profit, $16.99, almost $17. That is a great deal. 94% return of investment. That's yoursourcedinventory.com. Think about getting that clothing list, that shoe list sent to you 5 days a week, once a day. Take advantage. You'll grow your business as much as we have. Yoursourcedinventory.com. Thanks. All right, good discussion. Great. He's a great kid. We do talk about suspension, not once, but twice, getting reinstated, what they learned. But get ready. This kid drops some knowledge bombs and stuff that you'll be sitting there saying, that's pretty smart. You know, buying in another place, having them put in a storage facility. There's some knowledge here that I think is transferable. And what I love is the fact that they're saying, well, this is great and this is all good, but I think there's some other opportunities and we're exploring those now. I think that's really smart. I think that's way ahead of everybody else. And I'm really, really impressed. Remember, 23 years old. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Max Abreu, who is partners with Garland Sullivan. And these guys are just crushing it. And yet they're just so young, they don't know any better. I think that's probably why you're doing so well. You just don't know any better, do you? You're going to be successful no matter what. You just know it, don't you?
Exactly.
I love it.
not to say that, you know, in a bragging way, but it's only till recently that I looked back and that we've been looking back and realizing, you know what, like what we're doing is not, it's not that normal in the normal
world. It's not normal, you know? Because let's just face it, right? Because if I read the Wall Street Journal every day and the Washington Post every day and a couple other papers. And when I read the Wall Street Journal, it says everybody your age doesn't want to work. They play video games all day. They're living in their parents' basement and they're never leaving, right? They move back. They are underemployed at Target. What else? That's pretty much it, you know. They just don't want to go to work. Is that true?
I definitely see it.
It's got to be hard when you see your friends.
Yeah. It was interesting because I remember a moment right before we graduated, where we knew what we were going to do or what we were going to attempt to do, and 95% of the people I asked, you know, that we're going to graduate would say, oh, I don't know, you know, I'm just going to go home and see what kind of job I can get, you know, and see what happens. A lot of those people are still stuck like that, you know?
Yeah, they're stuck. They still waiting to see what happens instead of making things happen, right? I mean, it's troubling, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, not much. I mean, I can encourage them, obviously, but not too much I can do. I mean, I can
You can just show them by demonstrating. So let's get into your competitive swimming. So you're not just a swimmer. I mean, you're downplaying, oh, I'm just a swimmer. You are a ranked swimmer, or were?
Yeah. So like I said, I swam in college and whatnot, and all along I represented Paraguay for swimming, and I got to travel, you know, I got to go to World Championships and Pan American Games and South American Games, and I got to go to the big meets and represent my country. And so that was a huge honor and a big, big, big experience.
Well, that's a commitment. I mean, I think, you know, most people, oh, yeah, I swim or whatever. But on that level, the training, the commitment, I mean, you've been swimming heavies for how many years now?
I'd say probably 12.
Okay, think about that. 12 years in the pool 6 days a week, generally, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know how many hours that takes. I just interviewed Chris Dupuy, who's the bona fide hustler, and he puts in 15 hours a week in the gym to look, you know, he's in incredible shape. And I thought to myself, wow, 15 hours. And then I realized, wait, I go to the gym for an hour a day, 5 days a week, and then a half an hour on the weekend. I'm like 5.5 hours, and I'm exhausted, and I'm dying here. And here he is, 15 hours. So for that competitive athlete, I mean, it's such a huge commitment. I mean, think of how many hours you were putting in a week, you know, and then, you know, probably having to sleep and having to do all these different things, plus study and plus that. So I think it's a very cool thing. And don't downplay it, because it's a big deal. How many people get to make it to those levels?
Yeah. Not very many, definitely.
Not many. Not many at all. So I think that's obviously the competitive spirit where it comes from. But I'm also interested in how you and Garland interact. So you've got a pretty good-sized company now, and you've had an incredible success. You've had an incredible run. How do you split the responsibilities, and could you break it down for us?
Yeah, you know, I've actually – we've been getting that question asked.
It's hard because, you know, it's partnerships are tough.
Well, that's the thing, you know. Interestingly enough, you know, our partnership hasn't been hard. You know, we connected so well in college. He was my roommate. I mean, when I started doing this, he was just helping me just to help me, you know. And we lived together. He's basically my brother. And when it comes to splitting stuff, it's just very rarely do we sit and talk about, okay, what are you going to do? Okay, what am I going to do? We just go in there, and there's so much to do always. You can always find things to do that we just kind of naturally split things. He's better at dealing with people, dealing with employees and whatnot. Okay. I'm better at researching and staying up to date with what's going on in the Amazon world. What do we need to do to stay ahead? You know, what's the new thing? We should try this. We should try that. You know, I'm a little better at that. But yeah, it works very well. And I only realized that recently as well when I look at some other partnerships or some other people talk about partnerships where they say that it was tough or they got burned and this and that, you know. And, you know, I'm just extremely grateful and just blessed that, you know, our journey has been smooth sailing as far as relationship goes.
I think it comes down to respect. You know, there's some couples that I've interviewed and, you know, I always tell the story is that I can tell when I hit a nerve when somebody, when I post in the morning, I usually post these things, you know, 3 a.m. or whatever, and I can see somebody comment and when I put in there, it's about respect, you know, husband and wife, and then they tag their partner and I'm like, that's an issue. But hopefully they hear that it is possible. But I think that, you know, your relationship with your friend there is, it is a respect issue, and you have to, you know, because you're gonna have your ups and downs just like he is, right? Definitely. And so when you recognize that and you acknowledge that, you know what, he's down today, I've been down before, let me help bring him up and build him up, that's what works. And it sounds like you guys are doing it. What, break down your business, wholesale, online arb, retail arb, private label, all the above?
Yeah, all the above, honestly.
What's your majority? What would you say? And I assume it's changed, right? I'm assuming it started at his retail arb like most.
Yep. Yep.
And maybe some online.
Mm-hmm. It started out as retail arb, then did online, then got into wholesale a little bit, got out of wholesale, and then got into private label, then got back into wholesale, and all the while, just now our goal is to build systems that kind of run themselves and have a department for each one of those.
And that's interesting. Let's talk about each one then. So let's walk through the retail ARB department. Tell me what that looks like today.
Yeah, so for the retail ARB department, we have shoppers, and we pay them commission. We teach them how to shop, and we.
Do you pay them a percentage, a flat dollar amount, or a percentage? Okay.
Percentage.
Would you share that amount, or is that?
No, it's fine. We pay them 30% commission on the profit.
And so you share the profit with them.
Yep, with the retail guys. Yeah, and it's based out of the model that this partner in Texas. You know, he's been doing it, and it's been working for him, and so we based it out of that, and it's been working, and it really builds a team atmosphere, you know.
Because they share with each other,
exactly.
Right? Are you using like a WhatsApp or something like that so they can communicate?
Yeah, we use Facebook Messenger, and it gets pretty hectic there, so because they'll be out in the store scanning, and they'll scan it in there, and so. It's a constant feed of stuff.
Ding,
know?
Ding, ding,
exactly.
Ding, ding, ding. So who pays for the merchandise?
We do.
Okay, yeah. So you're giving me a credit card. I'm going out. You're giving me a list. You're giving me a scanner. You're giving me a phone. What are you giving me?
I'm giving you a scanner.
How do you identify somebody who's going to be good at it? Because that is a skill set, wouldn't you say? That somebody who can go to the store, A, who likes to go to the store and shop, because not everybody does, B, recognize value.
Yes, definitely. I would say attention to detail is huge. And then just patience. And then I try and find the smart ones, you know, either the gamers can be either really smart or really.
God, your age is showing. You know what? That's so true, though. You're right, because if they can figure out that game, that's so good.
Yeah.
So they go out and buy as much as they can, or do you give them a goal each day? I mean, you're saying, hey, spend $1,000, spend $5,000.
Yeah, so we tell them that they should shoot for at least 1,000 a day. Most of them are doing above that now, but in order for them to do well, you know, they should shoot for 1,000 a day. And then obviously there's some weekends where there's some sales and they'll crank out, you know, like way more, you know, 20.
So what do you say to somebody if they spend 1,000 a day of your money,
mm-hmm.
and they follow your guidelines? And I think that's where your proprietary, you know, your secret sauce is, and don't share that with us. But I think that's what you really sound like you're doing right. What's reasonable for somebody to make? I mean, are they saying, hey, if you go and spend $1,000, you follow our plan, you can make $100?
We don't try and sell them on that. But our main shopper wants to make 70 grand this year, and he
this year.
Yeah, and he sees it as attainable, and we definitely see it as.
Okay, so he wants to make $1,400 a week on average, right? And so if he can spend $10,000 and the percentages all work out, right? Mm-hmm. If you do the third, okay, I like it. I think that's very clean. They bring it back. Do they have to process, or does that go to the processing department?
Yeah, that goes to the processing department. They basically just drop it off. We also have it in another city.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and we have a storage locker that the guys will drop it off there, and we'll go pick it up, you know, once a week or whatever it might be. And, yeah.
And so that gives you the ability to scale, yet the risk is minimal because they put it in a storage unit, right? And so you know what to expect there. I guess there's, you know, a little possibility of theft. One guy going in, the other guy going in, he could take somebody. I mean, I guess there's a little bit, but you have to have some level of trust. You're giving them your credit card, for God's sake, right? There's got to be some level of trust. So are the ones in another city, are they able to, I mean, because you're probably only going up there once a week?
Mm-hmm.
How large is the truck? I mean, how full is it when you bring it back? I mean, have they scaled to the place where you're like, wow, this is a big deal?
Oh, yeah. Well, this past weekend was a huge haul. Just we have a 4Runner and we have a trailer, and both the trailer and the 4Runner were full. And so,
that's awesome.
So that was the warehouse guys got a lot of stuff.
But that's cool, though, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure everybody then gets on board, and it's like, that's when you guys are saying, hey, let's put our head down and do the work, right? That's when you, as you said, there's always something to do, right? And sometimes I'm sure you have to get out on the floor and give a hand.
Yep, that happened yesterday, actually. Yeah, we had a wholesale order that was sitting there for like 2.5 weeks because of the retail stuff. And so we were like, no, we got to get this out. We've been out of stock. And
smart. Okay. So your retail system seems to be working well. Is there anything that you think you could add or you would change in your retail system, or do you think you've gotten it down to where it's replicatable in another city? Would you add another city?
Yeah, we're actually looking at doing that in Tennessee. Garland, he's from Tennessee, and he just had a meeting last week, actually. He went up there, and he met with these people that are a big, big, big brand name. They sell on Amazon also, but it's very minimal to them. Their warehouse is something like, I don't even want to say it because I'm going to, it was big. and so they liked the idea of setting up like a retail prep center there. And
no kidding.
And we would help them with anything that they might need as far as Amazon as well. And so we're definitely looking at expanding in another city. As long as we can get the same quality control, we should be good to do that.
I read a Jim Cockrum quote today. He was making a statement about somebody who made a really nice comment on his website. And it was basically, you don't understand the value of your knowledge of selling on Amazon. It is incredible. And so you're a great example, or Garland was, right, where he's able to go to a big mega company who's already selling on Amazon, but not at the scale doesn't have the skill sets you guys have, and yet you're able to bring that to them. Again, at 23 years old, you guys have a skill set that is worth more than your college education, frankly. I think you would acknowledge that at this point, wouldn't you say?
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so that's the RA department. Tell me about the OA department. I assume they use the same processing. Is the processing center, the hub, pretty much all the
spokes go out from there? Is that kind of the way it works?
No, for the OA, we ship everything to a warehouse in New Hampshire, to Flanagan's warehouse.
Okay. Okay, so you're using a co-op warehouse to process for you, so you don't even have to bring that into your system.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. And so are your people in the U.S. buying, or are they buying from other countries?
Well, it's just us, and I'm really good at it.
Okay.
And so I usually check, you know, it takes me probably, I don't know, 25 minutes a day just to check what's going on the internet, see if there's any potential deals.
You're in some groups and some things, right, to get some lists or whatever, that kind of thing?
No, not so much. I just check the sales that stores have, and then I check if, you know, stores that we usually buy from have extra discounts and coupons and what the gift cards are looking like, you know. And so very quickly I can see if, okay, this is worth digging deeper, or okay, there's not really much online today for us, you know. But
do you have a goal when you do? I mean, do you say, hey, I want to spend $1,000 today? Is that your goal? I mean, how do you, or $5,000 a week? I mean, how do you measure that it's working well for you?
As far as the online part of it, not so much. As far as the online part of it, I spend what I can when I can. But as far as the retail side, what we've been doing is we've been seeing how much we can crank out as far as processing. So at the end of the day, we'll have a big calendar, and what we'll put up is the number of units processed, the potential profit, and the buy cost.
And that goes up for all the employees can see it?
Yep.
And so what's that been looking like? Well, I know, I guess I have a little inside information. It's a huge, it's a hockey stick, right?
Yeah, it's definitely.
I mean, it's not even close to a hockey stick. It's just, it's almost straight up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been crazy, you know. Just recently is when we've been looking back and saying, "Wow, we're actually on the right track, man." You know, like we're on to something here. And
What do you think was? I want to hit that because I mean, I would agree with you. What would you say was the tipping point? What made it from working to like, hey, we really have something? Because it was working before, right?
Yeah, it was probably our first year in. Well, we started in 2014. From August to December, we did something like 100 and some thousand, I forget. And then in 2015, we had a goal. We broke it down, you know, if we do X amount per day and X amount per month, and we do double that, we try to get a formula for it, we should be at 800,000, you know, for the whole year. Wow, that's crazy, you know. And then it turned out that, you know, we were suspended twice and basically unemployed for 40-some days and still managed to get, you know, seven figures by the very last couple of days of the year.
Okay.
You know? And then we're
going to have to go back there and pause. I mean, you can't drop that and not talk about it, right? So I know, I'm sure it's uncomfortable, but let's talk about it, right? It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So you were suspended twice. What was the first one for?
Yeah, so the first one had a bunch of different ASINs that they claimed, you know, they go for used being sold as new, and you
okay,
know,
so it was condition issues. Okay.
Yeah, condition issues.
Okay. Would you own up to any of it to say, you know what, I probably wasn't paying attention to as much of it as I should have?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Right. That's fair.
First time we were like,
okay,
we had to take a step back and say, okay, we can't just crank out as much product as we can. You know, that can't be our goal, is just to whatever, you know, just send it in. And that's I'll take that 100%.
I just heard Gary Vaynerchuk say this the other day. He said, it's not how much you make, it's how you make it, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm like, Ooh, that one hurts a little bit, doesn't it? Cause it's like, yeah, you're right. You know, it really is.
Definitely.
Right. So that was an eye opener. Did you, So you changed your business from that moment, right? You just said, hey, we acknowledge that we got a problem. We got to fix this. Our systems aren't complete yet. We haven't put the quality control in place. Maybe we'll say it that way, right?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so you get past that. You get reinstated.
Mm-hmm.
How long until the second?
I'm trying to think. I think the first one was probably around August.
Okay.
And then the second one was in November and a little bit of December. We missed.
Oh, you probably had one or two pieces of inventory in the warehouse, I bet.
Yeah, we missed out on Cyber Monday and all that good stuff.
So now the slap comes. Okay, so what's this one for?
And this one we had just started with shoes.
Okay.
And you know how Amazon's rules about shoes are about, you know, boxes and poly bags. There's
not buying from TJ Maxx, not buying from Ross,
exactly,
those things, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. They don't have UPCs. They don't match, that kind of thing. So that will bite you, and it did.
Yep, it did. It definitely did.
So I don't know if I want to know how you got reinstated. You got reinstated.
Mm-hmm.
You again change your process and tweak it, because by then you had fixed your quality new is used, right, issue. That's been resolved.
Yes.
And I guess that would play well for you in a second suspension, because you would say, hey, look, we messed up in the past. Look what we did. We fixed it, and we have fixed that. This other issue, well, in fairness, were you selling those kind of shoes before you got suspended the first time too?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't think we... I'm not sure. My memory is terrible, but I'm not sure we were starting to sell shoes yet. Or maybe we did start selling
okay.
shoes.
Okay. So how do you get unsuspended a second time?
Ooh, with a lot of help from my friends.
Okay.
No,
okay. But, so you had to reach out and get some help.
Jennifer Colson is who we used twice. And for a lot of – she's been our go-to ever since, and she's been amazing. We owe her – a lot.
So now when you look back at it, you know what those two things are. Mm-hmm. I imagine you probably got eye open to other things that you probably can't do also. Would you say that your record is expunged, and you feel really good about where you are right now?
Yeah, you know, we were talking about that the other day and saying, man, we haven't gotten any performance notifications in months almost, you know? And I attribute that, we attribute that to getting Feedback Genius. A lot of people get that, you know, for strictly private label, but we decided to get it for all of our goods, basically. And it just helps, you know, sending a real personalized letter to these customers and saying, hey, if you have any problems, you know, reach out to us before you reach out to Amazon, basically, and we'll fix it and we'll go above and beyond. Because
and so it's you've had to, it that's happened to you.
Yeah. Okay. But it's good, you know. We're getting much more communication with customers. We're getting a ton more messages, but it's all right, you know, because not one product, not one sale is ever worth your account, you know. And so we can.
It's a great line.
Yeah, we can always go above and beyond for whoever needs it, basically.
So you fixed some quality issues. Mm-hmm. You then fixed. You really sourced better. I don't want to call it better quality inventory because I don't think that's the correct term. You found more sources that are aligned with Amazon's desires for sourcing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you started communicating with customers in a stronger way. And so would you say that all those things combined are the reason that you're having exponential growth in your business? Or is there anything else?
Not as far as growth. I don't think any of those attribute to growth. I think those
– okay.
Well, I guess it attributes to growth because you're not getting suspended. But
yeah, I guess that would be – I mean, because you were growing – pretty quick at the end until you got suspended in 2015, the second – maybe the first time or second time. For 40 days is a lot to be down and still have that kind of a year.
Yeah.
I mean, the hockey stick clearly had started before you got suspended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now it's really continued. What's different then? What? Well, we didn't get to the other. Let's maybe we'll get answers when we get into it. So I'm going to jump to private label because you left wholesale. I want to hear why you went and then you left and then you went back. So let's jump to private label. What's the private label division look like?
Yeah, so private label, it's what we're most excited about, honestly, and it's the most fun, in my opinion. We took
Well, you get to use that college degree.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, that's very cool. I think that's very cool.
Yeah, and we took. I remember the moment exactly when I was when I posted. I had been asking some people about getting into private label and this and that and the courses that were available. And I remember I was in a group and I asked, I was like, hey, what do y'all think about this course and versus this course? And one of them was Andy's course, mm-hmm. And I said, I heard that Andy's course is very slow or something like that, something not that good, And then he comments himself and then he reaches out to me and he says, if you take my course, if you don't like it or if you're not satisfied with it, I'll refund you your whole money, plus I'll give you a $100 gift card, Amazon gift card.
And he meant it too, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, all right, how can I not take this guy up? And so I started doing that, and very shortly after I realized that, wow, this is not that hard,
He makes it very simple, him and Maggie, they make it so simple because it spells out for you, right? I mean, it's very intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
But... Well, you're from another country. It's not when you break it down, right? I mean, there's some barriers, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
There's barriers to everything, right?
And we're both pretty, risk-taking people just because none of us have families, It's just us. If we're broke tomorrow, we'll figure something out and it'll be fine.
So funny. Oh, man. To have the youth. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So how many products have you brought to market?
Four or five.
Wow. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
At one point, our sales from like two private label items were just as much as everything else we had built. And that's when I was like, what? Two products.
There's a lot less work with two products. As a matter of fact, because they're your products, you don't have to label them, right? You don't have to do a lot of stuff. You could have them shipped directly to Amazon for you, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice little thing. That's the value of private label. I mean, that is really when you can get to that level. So do you see that piece of your business growing?
Oh, yeah, definitely, especially with the recent strategic partnership that we have with another guy locally here. He's an expert marketer outside of Amazon. So mm-hmm. He knows everything about Facebook ads, Google ads, Instagram, building websites, getting emails, building that email list, credit card processing, all that, And that's kind of like the missing ingredient for us to truly launch something sustainable and that can last outside of Amazon. I'm just waiting to basically find that product that I'm passionate about to really go all out outside of Amazon. But yeah, we met this person and great guy, young guy, just real solid.
Dude, you're 23. He can't be young. What is he, 12?
No, he's 31 maybe.
Oh my God, he's ancient.
And so we got a really good deal with him, and he's interested about selling on Amazon, and so we got a thing going where it can just help both of us tremendously, and we won't be
win-win.
Yeah, we won't be putting up much, to get stuff going, and it's really kind of what we've been waiting for because we can learn from him how to do everything outside of Amazon and to really do it right,
Love it, love it, love it. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's going to grow. I can't wait to have you back to hear how that goes. All right, so now we'll get to wholesale. So you left wholesale. Why'd you stop doing wholesale? Were you doing the wrong product lines, do you think? I mean, looking back at it?
Yeah, it was really when I had just started. So I really didn't know what I was doing in a way. I was finding products and saying, margins on this you know, stink compared to what I can go find in a store and flip.
Right, you go to Target end cap and I can buy Honest diapers and flip those for more money, right?
Exactly. So at the time it was just maybe not as interesting, and I think maybe, you know, we didn't have the funds to maybe put up a lot for a big order, and so I just kind of, we just kind of dropped it.
I want to hear that. You said it wasn't as interesting. Is it because you weren't, again, we didn't choose the right product? I just want to drill a little deeper. I just want to get that. Did you not?
Yeah, you know, probably what I didn't have is the tools to know how to find these products,
okay,
to know how to approach these people, to have a website of my own, to really stand alone and really present yourself as a business. And all of that came along, you know, when I found out about Dan Metters and these guys, you know.
Yeah,
and their
the Kentucky
story,
boys.
Exactly.
Yeah, those dudes get it.
Yep. And so.
Oh, man.
So I tried.
Well, you're dropping some big names now. Right? You got Andy, you got Dan, I mean, wow, and Eric.
Yeah, and these guys, you know, all these guys, I've always been on top of everything that's going on Facebook and whatnot, or I try to. And seeing these people, you know, killing it, it's like, wow, I gotta pick their brains, you know? And so then I was like, okay, maybe there is something to wholesale when these guys are doing so much after leaving retail, or, you know? And it was after I took the course, and I took the course, and I think I watched, like, one video, maybe, you know, before I was like, all right, like I can do this, you know.
Yep. They definitely have figured it out.
Oh, yes.
I had Dylan, and I interviewed Dylan too. And it's just, you know, when you can see the way these three, you know, it's just, they have figured it out. There's no question in my mind. So you brought it back, and definitely different than the first time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, would you say, looking back at it, could you look back and say you did everything wrong with it in the beginning?
Not, I guess, yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
All right. Well, no, that's cool. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's because you tried it. Again, you're not risk averse. You're ready to take the risk. That was okay. But it was probably stuff that you probably still have, right? Or you had to give away or what have you. Wholesale is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Some say it's easy, and it is. But it's, you've really got to put the time into finding the right product, and that's really the key. I mean, it's really what the key is, because everything's sold wholesale doesn't mean it really sells or you'll make money at it. So,
true.
All right, so how big is wholesale as a percentage of your business now?
Well, I'd say probably 15%, maybe.
Okay. Are you bringing the wholesale? Well, it sounds like you're bringing some of the wholesale back. Are you sending some up into New Hampshire too?
Actually, I don't think I've sent a single wholesale order to New Hampshire.
Okay, so you're bringing them back into your production.
Because there's a
line.
Little bit of prepping that goes on, and
okay.
But it's been cool. You know, it's been really nice seeing some of those wholesale numbers to be able to look and say, huh, every month, you know, this is just coming in, you know, and we just say reorder more. And
are you using the Dan Metters and Eric's philosophy on ordering, having somebody order for you and the software that they use too, or are you and Garland ordering that?
We're ordering that.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You didn't go that far yet.
Not yet.
But do you have a website where your products are sold so you can show a vendor?
No. Well, we have a website, and it's actually really, really good looking, I have to say. I was not involved in the making of it, but it looks really nice. But we haven't made like a checkout option. It's more just the front explaining what we do and all this, all that good stuff.
Okay, and so that's what you could send to a potential vendor, and so they can see, oh, yeah, I sell, in your case, shoes, right? And here's the shoes that we sell and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, very cool. And does that help close the deal with them? Is that generally – I mean, what acceptance rate, I mean, not that you buy from them, but getting past that first hurdle of, hey, yes, we'll sell to you, what percentage are you hearing yes from, and what percentage are you hearing no from, or maybe not hearing anything from?
Oh, man, I would say If I had to throw out a number, I would say probably about 25% are saying yes, 30% are saying yes.
And what percent are you never hearing back from?
Well, I'm counting the 70% either no or never hearing back from.
Right. Well, I was going to say is that more than likely the never hearing back from is probably higher than the no.
Oh, I would.
In my experience,
oh, really?
It is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's true for you. I'm just saying from my experience is that you just never hear anything and you're like, I wonder what ever happened to them.
Gotcha.
I don't get very many no's. And I guess I shouldn't say that. You do get some that just saying, hey, we have enough Amazon sellers. We're just not interested. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll move on. All right. So that division's doing well. What's the next? You have a merch division yet?
No.
You're not messing with merch?
I haven't yet, you know, I don't know how much money people have actually made.
Right.
But that's just on my part. I just haven't researched it. You know, I was late to it. I didn't jump on it. I don't know why. I don't know if they're taking in new people now or what the deal is with that.
How about the business side? Who handles all the paperwork? You must have a million receipts coming in. I mean, how are you managing all that process?
Yeah, you know, we recently bought 3 different scanners to test out the best one for.
All right, well, walk us through that because that's a very good point because that's an issue. I'm going to be having Anna Hill on in the next week or two, and so we're going to be talking about that issue. So, tell me what you've had 3 different types of scanners.
Yeah.
Which one's leading the pack and why?
We had the neat receipts one. The really thin one. Then we had the.
Is that the one you get from Sam's Club? I know they sell them. I think I've seen them there.
Do they?
You can buy them on Amazon or whatever. So it's real thin.
Yeah.
Scans it. Does it create a PDF or what does it create?
Yep, it does. It creates a PDF and you can put it in a folder in the Neat software, and then you can export and combine them and merge them into one PDF if you want.
Can you make it? Tag it as, hey, this is Walmart and this is 9/12/2015. Will it allow you to tag it in some way, put keywords or whatever they want to use for their term?
Yep. You can make all sorts of different folders in there. And then
But you can't tag the receipt. I guess you would have to do it by name or something like that. So you would save it as Walmart.
Yeah.
September 12th. Okay. Yeah. And that's how you would do it. And then you could search by then. And then you file it on their database out in their cloud somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. You have a cloud. They have a cloud. You don't have to use the cloud thing, but yeah, they have a cloud software where you can access it from anywhere and you can search all of them. So you can search whatever a keyword within the receipt if you're looking for a specific item. So that's
so. Can
that's
you search for UPC?
Yep.
That's probably useful.
Yep.
Okay,
that's
and so huge. That works. And so, that's very skilled. Do they charge you for storage?
They charge you for just for using it. There's no limit as far as storage, but they charge like $5.99, I think, a month.
$6 a month.
Yeah, they're a basic program.
And how fast is the scanner for a receipt?
Neat Receipts is slower. But what I've found is if you have really, really long receipts, it's good because you can just keep pressing scan and it'll just some of these other scanners, you would either have to cut it up or you would have to basically cut it up.
Yeah, you basically cut it up and most of the time tape it to a 8.5 by 11, right, and 3 rows across. That's what I'm used to and that's laborious.
Gotcha.
Right? Nobody wants
to
do that. Okay, so then that's Neat Receipts. So that sounds like it's a recommendation from you, a thumbs up?
Yes, I think Neat just recently updated their software. Which was the problem. The problem was their software was so buggy and everything was so slow and it would just die
on. Have you had to go out and find something and it actually worked? Is that's the test? Right, when you're under the gun and you're like, oh, they want me to prove this so it's not counterfeit, I need this UPC. Have you tried that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Neat has pulled through with that.
Okay, so that's a ringing endorsement. Okay, what was the second scanner you tried?
It was another Neat one, but it's the Neat, the desktop version, the bigger one that takes in all sorts of sizes of paper and whatnot. And And that one scans faster, so that's a plus. Mm-hmm. But I've found that you can't scan super long ones. You'd either have to cut it and then feed it through again, or yeah, that would be your only way.
Well, I mean, give me a frame of reference. So if you put something through the neat receipts, the thin one, how long would it take for a couple foot? Is it 5 minutes?
No,
or is
no,
it,
not
you
at
know,
all.
40 seconds as opposed to 12 seconds
yeah,
on the other
yeah,
one?
Yeah, it's more like 40 seconds as opposed to.
Okay. All right, and so that one still does the cloud thing, but it's really designed for a desktop and it just, you know, feed it in.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the third one?
Oh, the third one is the Fujitsu, the ScanSnap one.
Okay, ScanSnap. And so they've been around a lot longer. How does that compare?
We just recently got it, so we're still experimenting with it, but it seems to be the winner.
Okay.
As far as the speed of it, you can put multiple papers through. You can't make it like an unlimited length, which is so you do have to cut it. But we're still playing around with that one and trying to figure it out. Honestly, Garland is doing more of that than me because it drives me nuts. I know it drives him nuts too.
But you just don't have the patience to sit there and deal with it, do you?
Oh, it really stirs me up inside to have to be doing that as opposed to actually making money, you know.
It's mindless. One of the I interviewed Asad Siddiqui, and he talked about that was one of the biggest freeing things when he found his processors. They verify the receipts of the buyers, and that's one part of what their responsibilities are. So when the buyers drop off their product, that processor is responsible to look at the product, make sure it all meets the requirements, you know, no dings, no damage packages, whatever, make sure it's complete, that everything's there. But the real ringer is they actually scan the receipt and send it, and it's like, oh, my God, that's a big deal. That seems like a game changer. And that control, that's that MBA in Assad, that control really is strong. So if you've had any shrinkage, as they call it in the retail world, right, that's one way to prevent it because you know that, hey, it came in exactly what I was supposed to get. What he does is – here's the lesson – is if there's something that needs to get returned, the buyer has to return it. They go through that pain once or twice, and they won't do it again. So
yep.
It's like, So just as an interesting – so you're saying the ScanSnap is the winner from a speed. Where do they store the data?
Oh, so you can export it to Evernote.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we've been playing around with is just exporting it into Evernote.
And that's available and on every device you'd ever have, right?
Yeah.
Is it also searchable? Does it also give you the ability to tag it in the same way that you can put Walmart September 12, 2015? And does it also allow you to scan the UPCs to search down?
It seems like it. We are still playing with it. I was doing it last week while Garland was out of town, and then I gave up on it, and I said, when you get back here – you give it a shot.
It's your problem. Yeah. This is your problem, yeah.
So he got back not too long ago, and he's been messing with it, trying to figure it out.
But it should work,
yes,
correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right, very cool. You know, I think that's such a big deal in our world. And so that's the way you guys are addressing it. Any other major takeaways that we can have for processing?
Because
you guys you're pumping through. So I love the calendar idea. So every day, again – or is it daily or weekly?
No,
these totals?
It's daily.
Okay, so daily. You have a number. Is it kind of like a competition to see if you can beat yesterday's? I'm sure there's a camaraderie to try to do that, right? So that's processing and then dollars and profit, potential profit. Are you getting that data from like an inventory lab or something like that tells you to profit or scan power?
Yeah, we use inventory lab and at the end of every batch that gets scanned in. We write up all the numbers, and what I haven't done yet, but what my plan is to figure out how much it costs us to run the business every day, you know, adding up every single expense, and what's our cost per day to run this business, and then see how much X amount we can be above that as far as potential profit, according to Inventory Lab, which we know, obviously, it's not 100% accurate, because you know, prices change and all that good stuff, but it can still give you something to shoot for.
Well, and the delta is the same no matter what, right? If you're measuring it the exact same way, the difference between today and yesterday is absolutely accurate because it was wrong yesterday, it's wrong today, therefore the difference is real. Mm-hmm. So what will you do? So you're already getting a gross profit, right, because you're considering, you know, cost of goods, you're considering selling fees and shipping in fees. So there's a good gross profit. You're not putting up a net profit. You're saying you're trying to calculate that. So you would take your labor hours and your electricity and your tape and your boxes and your insurance and your stuff, and you would try to quantify that as a
daily cost,
a fixed cost, a daily fixed cost, mm-hmm. right? Because it wouldn't be a variable cost unless you added more people, because you can process 100 units or you have the same staff if you process 1,000 units. So it really is a fixed cost. And so then you're going to figure out the optimal number. Is that what you're trying to do, is to say, hey, if we process 1,000 items, you know, our gross profit is this, but our fixed cost is $1,000. If we process 1,500 items, our fixed cost only goes up to $1,100. Therefore, we can make that much more money. Is that where you're trying to go?
Yeah, and it's not so much in the amount of items that we process, but it's the we try and look at the whole picture. So the ROI percentage mm-hmm. that it gives us, the potential profit, and the average sales rank.
Okay.
So
okay. Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it, love it. I love the fact that you're thinking of that. That's how you enhance. That's how you get, you know, those few percentage points you squeeze out are huge when you're doing the volume you're doing. I mean, it's massive,
mm-hmm.
right? Definitely. You don't have to sell more stuff to make more money. You're already doing that, so now you're going to optimize. I think it's genius. I love it, love it, love it. All right, any other processes that you're focusing on?
No, not that I could think of. This private label we were talking about with a partner today, which was really interesting, was looking at hiring somebody, maybe just out of college or something, that could basically take our products and try to put them in stores, you know.
Okay.
That would be their sole focus, and maybe give them bonuses for X amount of stores that they could get our product into.
So you would sell that to retailers, you know. So, for example, if you come up with your own shoe line, mm-hmm. right, and so you have it out on your site, you have it on Amazon, you have it on whatever other places, right, and then you would take that into the Joe's shoe store and try to sell it to him,
yeah.
right? And you would have sales reps in essence, reps mm-hmm. repping you out into the. Have you thought about doing them at trade shows or? You know, county fair. I mean, if you ever see those guys make $1 zillion. Those guys demonstrating knives and things like that. You know, it's funny, but it's true. There are the guys at Sam's Club, right, demonstrating their products and stuff like that. Have you thought about any other venues?
No, not yet. But I like that this partner that we're working with is very, very fast. I mean, he's got a full-time staff of designers in Nepal.
Oh, awesome.
So we can crank out some stuff, and capital is not an issue. And so it's basically starting to throw things to the wall and see what sticks kind of deal.
Love
it. And so that's something we're looking forward to.
So that's where you're going. I mean, would you say that's really going to be the next year's focus, this year's focus?
Yeah, I would say so. I think that the whole retail part of it is going to grow, but it's just going to grow naturally. And it's just going to be a cash producing machine for hopefully building sustainable brands for the future.
So it's that I'm calling it a master network, right? So it's really working, finding the right type of partner and working together closely. And it's not a legal agreement. Is it just a handshake?
You know, I think so.
Okay. Well, I mean, but you know what? I mean, there's expectations, and it's a little easier to unwind from those things. And so, you know, everybody has to make their expectation. Again, your age and the lack of fear is probably why you're going to be so incredibly successful, because I think we've all gotten paralyzed by fear of all these crazy stories. And how do you keep sharp? I was thinking about that, you know, being so young, you know, technology is all you know. Right. So how are you reading books, or are you, you know, are you more of a YouTube a guy I had last night? He's a YouTube watcher. I mean, that's what he does to keep sharp. How about you?
I use Facebook online a lot. And just follow, you know, Gary Vee and all those kind of people, and just I try and stay up with articles and whatnot. I do like to read, but
okay.
most of my reading is Christian books and faith based and just bettering, I guess, as a person more so than anything e-commerce related.
So you're working on your soul while you're working on your wallet. I mean, I applaud that. Love it. I love it. I love it.
Hey, we're only here for a little bit. That's, you know, there's just a whole eternity to look forward to.
Yeah, and the little bit is really is a little bit when you really think about that. And you'll hear episode 96, you'll know he breaks it down for you. It's really interesting. Okay, so I'm just blown away with two 23-year-old guys who have figured it out. And they figured it out well. Let's qualify it. First off, they have college degrees. Second off, they grew up using computers. Third off, competitive. But more importantly, your relationship. To me, I think that's probably the reason that you're so successful is because there's a respect in your relationship. And to me, that's the most important thing that you generally don't find in the business world. And it's the awful part of business. And so the fact that you guys have figured that out, that's why you guys are killing it. So, okay, so the goal of this podcast is to help people move forward. You got to give me a tip, a trick, something that people can put in place. They're stuck, you know, and they want to get going. Give us something.
I would say just take the leap as far as anything Amazon related. As long as you got the data for it and you can make as best of an educated decision as you can, you're going to be right more times than you're going to be wrong. And so, you know, I really got that from Christos at that conference, you know?
Yep.
He's just got a fearless mentality as far as, you know, he makes it sound like, yeah, I just buy it. You know what I mean? But
oh, he's self-deprecating. Absolutely. But he's so good.
Obviously there's a lot of thinking that goes into it. You know, you need to know, you need to make the best educated decision that you can. But once you got the stars to align themselves, I mean, you're going to be right more times than you're going to be wrong. So, you know, take the plunge and, you know, like we had borrowed money from an investor that's got a gun behind him and while we were suspended, so we went through some storms, you know, but we knew that, man, if we stick this out, you know, we've got a formula that's working and it's gonna pan itself out at some point.
And I think we're on the other side of that. There's proof to that. All right, best way to people to get in touch with if they want to reach out and they have questions and they want to, you know, ask, you're available to answer questions?
Yeah, I would say just Facebook.
Okay, and I'll have the link for it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'll put the link for it. All right, very cool. Man, I wish you guys nothing but success. Tell Garland I said, hey, I can't wait to see you at the next conference. Just you're killing it. You're inspirational. I'm trying to say two words, inspiring and inspirational, but it really is because, you know, again, you went and got that college degree. You're putting that business practice, that education into practice, into real world. And it's a little different than the book. I would suggest that you would agree with that. Right. Mm-hmm. But what's so cool is that you're able to take advantage of it. And, you know, at some point when you do become international with this business, it's really going to come back and be valuable for you. Very exciting. I have a college age son who I'm trying to bring into the business. And I just think so much that the potential to is just unlimited. So very, very, very cool story. I wish you nothing but success. Take care.
Awesome. Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate it.
And I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. He's such a great guy, and his business partner is just as nice. So very cool. One more pitch. Chris Green's episode 100 is coming up, and he assures me he's going to roll out something. I don't know what that is, what it means, but I'm excited because whatever Chris does, I'm on board with. And just it's always knocked it out of the park. Episode 100, this is 97, so a couple more, and I'm really excited about it. If you know somebody who you think I should be interviewing, shoot me a note. Love it, love it, love it, and I have something new for episode 101. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.